on 1278 and 1530 AM on DAB Digital Radio and online at pulse2.co.uk. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show with Aaron the Power Bauer, the Reggae Warrior, Ross Peltier, the Italian Stallion, or Mini, Elliot Minchella, and Robbie Hunter Paul.
Kia ora and g'day and welcome to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show live here on the Pulse 2 radio station with the legends that are the Ross Peltier, the Reggae Warrior, the Italian Stallion himself, or as we call him, Mini, Elliot Minchella, and the power that is Aaron Bauer. Boys, how's it going? How's your week been going? How was your weekend? Big weekend it was.
Yeah, it's been good. Weekend off, got to watch a lot of RL over it. Weather's been nice, so happy days, yeah.
So tell us why you had the weekend off, because you played on
Friday night.
Friday night, and yep. How was it? Up at Newcastle Thunder, playing on a 4G pitch?
It was a tricky fixture, but we come out the other side with 2 points, so...
So that's a very PC way of explaining it.
It's not like you.
So basically, what happened? The Bulls started really, really slow. Yeah, by your own admission, started really slow.
Started
really
slow.
Scrappy. Yeah. I would argue you guys were soft.
Ooh. Yeah.
I'm going to throw that out into the... Because, you know what, I've watched nearly every game. I think there's probably just one game I haven't seen, and that was a game against West Wales. And I reckon... No, I watched that one as well. I watched all those tries being scored. It was against Scholars.
Yeah.
And... every other game up until that, you actually really, really been really quite aggressive.
Mm.
And I think that normally sets the tone for a game. But, God, you guys were flat.
Yeah, then I came on and we took the lead back. So
I got to admit, he's got a point.
Big man. He's back.
He did. I'm going to give you that because you did. That's exactly what happened. Yeah. You did come on. You changed the tempo of the game. Made Elliot start playing.
Yeah,
did you come on and give him a clipper in the back of the head?
He went in at halves and started giving me it. So yeah, give me a
just
few.
Just feed the machine, you reckon?
Yeah.
But then you come on about the 25-minute mark, and for about 7 to 8 minutes, you're skittling people, you're tossing people left, right, and centre, and then you went rubbish.
Yeah,
and
I couldn't catch a cold, and then dropped everything after that. It wouldn't have things. We lost the middle, George Milton, didn't it? Broke his eye socket. Yeah, so then we were middle down, and then.
Oh, wow.
He played for it as well.
He came back, he did. He broke his orbit.
Yeah, he came back on, and he was saying to me, he goes, my eyes come out. I said, what? Yeah. I said, my eyes coming out.
Yeah, so he was blowing his nose, and it like coming down his cheek. You could feel something coming.
Serious?
Yeah, and he played on for about 10 minutes, but then had to come off. Yeah.
Tell him, crack on, get your job done. Just don't blow your nose.
Yeah, but we came out of the side, Mini got a try.
And he didn't get HIA before that. So he's cracked his...
He came off for the assessment and said he's good to go back on.
But when I blow my nose, my eye pops out of my head. And I can pass that, as long as you're not dizzy.
Yeah, I'm surprised Mini didn't break his eye on out as well. He got...
Got in for Mini again, wasn't it?
Just one eye tackle, got yellow carded against, and then, some bloke just tackled me and all of a sudden just started laying into me on the floor.
Tackled him and then started punching him in the lips.
No idea. Why not said a word to him all game.
Stop it.
Literally just got me on the floor and just whacked me, and then my mate, the Welsh wizard Dalton Grant, came in and got my back, didn't he, and sorted him out.
He did. He came in just to help you out. We actually just to push the guy away.
Yeah.
And he copped one as well.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah.
For nothing.
Yeah. But it won them games, their biggest crowd of year, playing probably number one in the league, so They were up for it. They've been doing video on us for like 2-3 weeks in advance, gearing up for this game. So, I think sometimes we go into a game thinking, it's just going to be another game, but to everyone else, it's a massive thing. And I think that's what caught us off.
And it was. I mean, I'll take my hat off to Newcastle Thunder. They had done a lot of community work. There were hundreds and hundreds of kids up there, and obviously their fans were there as well. Great crowd, great atmosphere. Thought it would have motivated you guys to put on a show. I wanted to see, I wanted to see the Bull show. But actually, they took it to, are you guys feeling jaded, a little bit tired? Look, I'm with you. There's no way you can keep a certain type of intensity, which you just started the season on, for all of that time. You're going to have some lulls. Are we just going for a little bit of one of those lulls?
I think I think so. Maybe, you know, with us coming up against opposition the past few weeks, which maybe have not been at the level of Newcastle, no disrespect to Scholars and West Wales, it's hard to then play these games and then lift your game again to go, you know, to raise the intensity. And that first 10, 15 minutes, we got a bit sucked into that. But then once we found a stride, we started completing our sets, we got back to how we needed to be. But it's quite tough going from playing a certain level of opposition for a couple of weeks and then raising your game. But that's the nature of the league, and that's something we have to deal with.
Are you finding that there is two leagues within this league?
Yeah, I think there's the top six clubs or so, and then there's, you know, everyone else. And our fixtures have been, we had a tough start. We played a lot of good teams early on, you know, and we found some form, and then, you know, we played West Wales and we were putting big scores. So yeah, it's one of them.
Would you then say you would rather not play those games against those types of teams because you lose that momentum, you lose that continuity, and almost, look, 126 points is impressive, or 124 points, whatever it was, is impressive, but it's like it's harder running against your own teammates in a contact session, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it is. And I think for us, when we've played as best rugby, you know, against Keighley, when we put 5th past them Doncaster, it's when we've had that mindset like we're going into a tough game, we're going into a big test, you know, and we've started massive from the off. And, you know, I think
it's quite interesting. I just want to pick you up there. It's quite interesting. You leave the York game out, which was an absolute classic, went all the way to the wire. But the first team that you can think of is Keighley, the king of K-Town. You know what I mean?
Now, it's York game, a real close.
Is that why you just bought a house further and further away from that side of Bradford?
Yeah.
You're still in Bradford, though.
Yeah, I'm getting away, though. Other side, innit? It's time to, you know, shed the old Keighley tag.
And now you actually want a gym membership down at Hub 26. Oh, come out and work out with the big dog.
Plug. Yep.
I got it. Look, I don't get paid for that, you know. I just want to, you know, but it does work. Evie, what are you talking about? You were saying that you want to come down as well, hang out.
I'm not sure I do.
But you just want to come and hang out with me, don't you?
Is your brother going
to
be there?
Oh, why do you always got to bring it down to that level? Always got to take it to that level. So
we haven't even really talked about Challenge Cup draw, have we? To be honest, because lads weren't here last week.
That's right.
When Robbie did the draw on BBC One primetime TV and he was introduced as Henry Paul. Superb. Love that. I've never texted anyone as quick in my entire life.
The first beep beep I got, my pocket was vibrating. I was still on air in front of 1.6 million people. And what happened?
Oh, wow.
Dave Woods. He H-bombs me.
H-bombed him.
See, like, a lot of people don't realise. Look, of all people to get H-bombed, he wasn't a bad player. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They could say someone who was really useless and get me confused with them, but Henry was world class, so I'm cool with that. And you also need to understand, people have been getting us confused since we were little kids. Nothing's new. But I must admit, never had it done in front of 1.6 million people before. So, yeah, I'll have to swallow that one. But I got to admit also, so you did it first, but then all my other WhatsApp groups, my phone was just vibrating. My pocket was on fire. I'm okay with it, people. I love my brother. I don't mind being called Henry. He's cool. He's rock and roll. All right. But a big weekend anyway, up at Newcastle. You guys didn't stay up there though, did you? Yeah. Straight back on the bus. What was the bus like?
It was a good bus ride.
I've always enjoyed bus ride home. Did you have a few beers?
Yeah.
Or you just consummate athletes?
First time. Yeah. You know, when we lost the packed the bus up with beers, when we went up to work, you know, and then we lost him,
come out.
And we seen him get put back in.
Bring the crate out. You're not getting those.
But then this one,
you have a long, hard, sober think about how you played. Bad bulls.
Let us have a few.
But you know what's great about the long bus rides is that no one can go anywhere. You're forced to hang out with one another. You're forced to have a few beers in each other's company, and there's no distractions, isn't there?
No, it's good. It's good when it's like that because you get to know people a bit better and you have a laugh. And we're having a bit of a sing song on the way home. But no, it was a good win, and I enjoyed the journey home as well. Yeah, Peltz was on form as usual.
Do you sing?
No, I just get stories out. I've just got stories for days. But no, that can be on air, but yeah.
this is a family show.
Yeah.
And Aaron, you had a big weekend up there as well. Putting aside the rugby, you were actually hanging out with your one of your best mates got married, didn't he?
He did, yeah, up in Durham on Sunday. So I went to Magic Weekend on Saturday, which was
good.
So
can you actually remember any of the weekend?
I can remember.
He did come in. He came in and he goes, oh, it was so brilliant. I was out to 2 o'clock in the morning, and you know all the sponsors put on a big do for all the journalists up there, and I only spent £13, and that included his kebab.
Yeah, so it was chicken, but yeah,
tight Yorkshireman. He's embracing his tight Yorkshireman.
It was good. It was a good weekend. Look, I don't know if it'll be at Newcastle again now. It's been there 4 years, hasn't it? I guess we'll talk about it after the break. But it was a good way to go out. If that was the last time we'll be at Newcastle, I just think we need to make sure we do something in Newcastle every year because, you know, you touched on there what the Thunder did with the crowd and everything mm-hmm. like that and the community schemes. It's clear there's something to build on in Newcastle. So whether it be a test match, whether it be a Magic Weekend or a cup doubleheader, anything, you know, we want to see some sort of presence staying in Newcastle.
What's brilliant about Newcastle is that it's got that positioning, the city centre positioning, just like Cardiff, where you have a few beers, you can spill out right into the bars outside the stadium and go back into the game itself to watch another game.
Perfect location, yeah. Great bars, great nightlife. The people are great as well. It's just an all-round good city.
All right, okay. We're going to have a look at the games in a little bit more detail after a break. We're going to come up and have a break very soon. But before we do that, let's have a look at the roads.
It's all about rugby league. This is the Robbie Hunter-Paul Show on Pulse 2.
Welcome back to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show, live in the studio with the power that is Aaron Bauer, the Italian Stallion himself, Elliot Mincella, and the reggae warrior, Ross Peltier. And we've just been looking at some of the tweets. I think Elliot's got a star-crossed lover. Not a lover, someone who's impressed with them. Well, it did say person in the grey shirt to him from the left.
Which
so did
one?
That mean the second person in from the left with the grey shirt on, which is Aaron? Is it not your mum, is it?
It's this lad.
It's not your mum that's
I think the camera might be a little bit blurry. That's
could be your mum's tweeting in. His mum's tweeting in about you. Yeah. Or your mum's tweeting in about him. No, I don't know. I'm not going to get
it. I liked Barry McDermott's about it'd be better if Henry Paul were doing the show.
Yeah, he did.
That
was
a good comment. Yeah.
Oh,
I like that one.
Why do you keep bringing that stuff up? And, you know, you've got to understand, although you see this hard exterior, I'm quite soft on the inside. You just need to have a closer look to the tracks of my teeth.
Yeah, he's just been in that shadow too long, hasn't he?
All right. Oh. Okay, let's have a look back at the Magic Weekend. What are the highlights for you boys?
Saturday, I think. It was obviously, it's pretty easy to group one day together, but I know the crowd was a little bit low in terms of, you didn't quite get through 40,000, but, you know, two...
Atmosphere was great.
Yeah, really good. I can't remember it being so full for so long. You know, everyone wanted to stay and watch the games. I think the right move in front-loading all the games into one day or all the better games. Mm. Toronto was a big hit. You know, I got there a little bit, about half an hour into that. I was expecting it to be really empty. Thought people wouldn't have bothered, but there was a lot of people in. They'd all shown up early. I wanted to see what that game was all about. So if we do Magic again next year, there's definitely scope to do a championship game. I just think it ticked all the boxes again for me. I know I wasn't there Sunday, so I can't comment on that, but it'd be mad to stop doing this now. You know, you've got such a great product, something that other sports are pretty envious of, other comps are envious of. So, yeah, the more often we do it, the better it'll be.
Now, I'm just looking at Luke here, who's not paying any attention to me. Have we got the Richie Mathers interview lined up? Well, we'll come to that in a bit because we'll just dissect some of the games. Did you guys catch many of the games?
Yeah, I watched the Saints one. Obviously, Saints were impressive again. I enjoyed the whole
thing. It was always going to be that outcome, though, wasn't it?
Yeah. The start were good, though. I mean, the start were a bit.
So you were watching it on Sky, weren't you?
Yeah, yeah.
Did you know? Did they say that it was me that chose the four players?
Yeah.
Oh man, I got pumped off Witness fans. I got absolutely slated. You know what? I couldn't because the game was so one-sided, and it's not the easiest thing to do. But I just couldn't. I was thinking at one point, Aaron Herremeyer, because he popped up a couple of times. I thought, you know, I'd like to get some balance here, but it was just so one-sided. And I just thought to myself, and I got to admit beforehand, like they asked me on the Friday to be a legend, inverted commas, to choose the four players. And because I thought they were just making it up. I thought, I wonder how they do this. There was myself, and another funny one is that they asked Michael Carter, I think, to do two games. I think he covered two games. And I can't remember playing against Michael Carter. It's a strange legend. But I think the reason why they asked Michael Carter was because he had been outspoken about the selection process. And so they challenged them publicly. They said, all right, if you think it's easy, here, have your chance. And he did the Warrington game. And he chose nothing but Wigan players, I think. And obviously, Warrington have a much bigger supporter base than Widnes. So with the grief that I got off the Widnes supporters, he got that about 10 times.
Yeah, my highlight were that guy running up pitch and scored a try. He was a big highlight.
The striker and the ladies versus yeah. Castleford.
Wow.
The pictures that got up to him, he must be regretting it after that.
There's someone, players had...
Was it Leon? Leon Mayer.
He had a photo with him.
That's class.
And just, one of the shots, actually, because he ran on with his underpants, he might as well just taken them off because his little fella was popping out, wasn't he?
Yeah.
The little Smurf was on show.
Was a little fella as well.
Well, it'd been a long afternoon for that bloke. So what was the... I'm with Aaron. When I got into the stadium, it was just before kickoff, and I was... of the Toronto-Toulouse game, and I was really pleased to see how many people were in the stadium at that point in time as well, because, you know, neither of those teams bought supporters.
Or concentrated
number of supporters. So there was a lot. I mean, there was at least 5,000 people in the stadium just generally interested. And over the course of that game, that turned into at least 15,000, you know, before kickoff of the second game. And by kickoff of the second game, which was Widnes and St. Helens, obviously all the Saints fans and Widnes fans were in at that point in time. So we were looking at a good 20,000 plus. So great for the Toronto players and the Toulouse players to experience that. It gives them a taste of what to expect if they are lucky enough to be promoted. And I thought the rugby that they played was pretty decent. What did you think to the footy that they
played? Yeah, the game was good. I mean, 71 points scored. So obviously... Pretty entertaining stuff. Toronto, it was nice to see Toronto do what we know they can do. I think they let themselves down a bit with the Warrington game. They lost their heads a little bit. The discipline was all over the shop, but they were a bit tighter with it on Saturday at Magic Weekend.
Yeah, you can only imagine what week they had. Eh?
Yeah,
boys.
They'll have got it from above the coaching staff as well. I would imagine that message came down pretty hard on them. So, yeah. That was good to see them in a good light again. But Toulouse, I think that they are the best two teams in the championship. I think they'll probably end up being the top two. There will have been a few Super League clubs watching that on Saturday and realising that it's going to actually be not so straightforward this summer, and it'll certainly intensify that race for eighth place, which after Salford lost, Catalans won, Huddersfield won. It blows it wide open again. So, yeah, it'll have got a few minds racing in Super League, I reckon.
Oh, definitely. So, fast forward the games. Obviously, we just discussed St. Helens and Widnes. How disappointing was Barber? And let me just say this. Look, he put in two kicks that led to tries. He scored a try himself. He saved a try.
That was an amazing tackle.
It was. I mean, that was dead set a try. How did he get underneath that? But his expectations are so high for me. I'm like, mate, I want you to score a length of the field try. And if you don't, you're rubbish. You know what I mean? Because his bar's set so high now. I don't know. Anyway, fast forward the game. So what was the next game after that? That was Warrington and Wigan.
Yeah.
Wow. For me, that was just one-way traffic, wasn't it?
I missed something.
Well, actually, just on that note, I think this is a perfect time because I caught up with Richie Mathers, who's the now business development manager or business development officer at Warrington, former Warrington star and Leeds Rhino star as well, and Bradford Bulls as well. So let's have a listen to what he had to say. So I'm here with Richie Mathers, former Leeds Rhinos, Warrington Wolves star, and now, as I understand, a business
development
officer, manager
Warrington,
at Warrington
Wolves.
Warrington Wolves, Richie, obviously played for Warrington for a long time. Looking back at the Magic Weekend, not the greatest game for Warrington.
No, I think it was on the back of nine wins as well. I think it was a blip. I think it was a poor performance. Wigan played really well. I think there was too many players. We're off that day, you know yourself, mate, you can have one or two off, but we had 8-9 players off, which has been uncharacteristic. I think we've been in fantastic form, but, you know, credit to Wigan, they played really well. a bit of a dress rehearsal for the Challenge Cup game in a week on Saturday. So yeah, it's a few things to fix up, but don't think it's a major crisis. But yeah, certainly not the greatest performance.
You've been around the game long enough. You've played in the game long enough to know that lulls can actually be a benefit in the long run. Do you think that can work? You know, being that the players weren't at the game on Saturday afternoon, do you think that can help sharpen the focus of what they've got to do over the next period?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it probably come at an opportune time. You know, nine wins on the bounce and in real good form, you can sort of fall in love with yourself as well. And I think it probably, on the big stage up at Magic, it was you know, not a great result, but in the context of where the season is and the run was going to have to come to an end at some point. We've got a big game on Friday against Hull FC, and then the big game in the Challenge Cup on Saturday, the second against Wigan, so the quarter-final. So I think in the context of it all, while it was disappointing, I think it's probably come at a real good time.
All right, just to finish off then, we're at the Rugby League Cares annual golf day, sponsored by Ward Hathaway. What's your golfing been like recently?
Been scratching, mate. Not for the lack of effort. Love getting out, but it's inconsistent. I got here about 40 minutes earlier and was quite nervous. Got on the driving range, so mate, could be absolutely anything. So we'll see.
All right, thank you very much, Richie, and we'll speak to you soon.
Cheers, mate.
And there you had it, the business development officer for Warrington Wolves, former England international, Great Britain international, been there, done that, got the T-shirt. Richie Mathers talking about the team at Warrington. We're going to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to be looking at the brand new changes that the referees are going to be trialling at this week's Summer Bash. So stick with us right here on the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 2. On 1278 and 1530 AM on DAB Digital Radio and online at pulse2.co.uk. It's all about rugby league. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 2.
Kia ora and welcome back to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show, live in the studio with the reggae warrior Ross Peltier, the Italian stallion Elliot Mincella, and the power that is Aaron Bauer. And man, there's been a lot going on in rugby league this week. Sean Wayne announces he's leaving. St. Helens announced Nagama. And also, I think it's today. Did that come out today, the referee change? So let's talk about that, because I think that's significant and it's relevant. One thing that we've been discussing over the past 2 to 3 weeks, maybe the last month, is how annoying it's becoming, the stop-start nature of televised games. And that is purely and simply comes down to, I think the sentiment's been us not believing the referees don't have the kahunas to make the call on the spot. But actually, what they're doing is using the tools that are available to them. So it's a little bit of both of those types of things, actually. So what the referees have decided to do is to make some changes and trial them at this weekend, Saturday, Sunday's Summer Bash. All the games are televised. And that gives them the opportunity to see whether or not these changes in play will have some sort of impact. Now, I've got to admit, I think this is a great idea. Look, let's not be afraid of change. I think we all agree that there's a problem. But to actually do it in live games where it can have a massive impact on the outcomes of games, you know what I mean?
Got to do it sometime, though.
You've got to do it. I agree, but you could do it in preseason friendlies. To do a mid-season shift is what I'm talking about. Other than a PR activity, why else do you do it? I mean, it can be an expensive testing for those teams that are actually, what they're doing at this point in time is they're competing to get into the Super League. But I think, yes, I'm with us. We agree that let's try change.
I could guess why they're doing it this weekend and not in a Super League weekend. And it's probably not going to sound great to some people. They're doing it this weekend because it's the Championship. Mm-hmm. And if they do it in a Super League weekend, more people would be more upset if something went wrong. Whereas this weekend, let's be honest, to all intents and purposes, if something goes wrong in Rochdale against Swinton, probably not going to be a massive outcry. But if something went wrong in Saints against Wigan, you'd be reading about it for weeks, wouldn't you? I think it's the ideal weekend to dummy run it and to test it out. And I'm sure Pelts is going to say they've been listening to us because we've said for weeks, streamline it.
Yeah.
I think your idea was to give the opportunity to the coaches. and use a scoring system where the coaches can have
challenges.
Can challenge a referee's call, and that actually you take all the decision making away from them.
Yeah, I watch a lot of NFL, and that's the system they have, you know, and they have a limited number of challenges. But I think just restricting it to in touch and grounding, I think that helps a lot, because it seems like referees don't want to make decisions about a lot of things. They're just going to the screen when there's not really any need to. The obstruction.
That happened again in the Wigan game.
Yeah.
In the Wigan Warrington game. I think lead runner coming through for Warrington and Stefan Richard went to score. That the Wigan player, and I think it was Tompkins, he promotes himself into the player. It's not the opposite where the lead runner ran into the defender. He actually launches himself into the player. And I think that's where they get it wrong.
Yeah.
But if we can take that out of the game completely.
Out, then, you know, and obviously refs and linesmen, if they see obvious obstruction, then, you know, they are going to see it. We've been looking at obstructions of someone like nowhere near the player, and tries have been getting chalked off for it. I'm happy for it. And like we said, there's not many televised pre-season games. There's not international friendlies bar England, New Zealand. So this is probably the only time Sky are ever going to be able to trial it. So it had to happen, I think.
Well, no, just on that note, though, just because it's Sky, it doesn't mean that they don't have the resources to be able to do it themselves. They've televised other games before. At this point in time, your games have been televised in a televised system.
But
you can put enough cameras in and around the to trial it to see what's the best way of perfecting it. But I'm with you. It's a weird thing. I'm kind of arguing against myself here. I'm with it. Let's do it now, because it's distracting, the amount of penalties and the stoppages that's going on at the moment.
Yeah, I can't see how else we're going to do it, really, apart from, you know.
Yeah, as well, I think it's a good thing. I watched the Toronto and Toulouse game, and that didn't have a video ref. And I think it was about three or four times the referee gave an obstruction penalty. And I've never seen a game where it's not been where it's been televised and he's give a penalty without going to the screen. But in that game, the ref made a call at least three times.
Do you reckon he was getting the call in the air?
Maybe so, but it wasn't a video ref game.
But on that same note, though, because it wasn't a video ref game and they weren't covering certain areas of the game, there were two blatant mistakes that were made.
Yeah, there
were.
One,
try, and two, the kick.
Yeah, well, I don't know, but I just think on the obstruction thing, that's been the big issue on it in recent weeks. And the referee in that game, he made the decision of whether that was off his own back or what, but I thought that was good to see.
Yeah.
You know, he put his hand up and said, no, that's blatant obstruction.
I agree with you. I watched every game on Saturday, and I just thought to myself, you know what, that first game, it flowed more. And I think that's that's the position on it, isn't it? Keeping the game flowing.
And that's where the best part of the changes are. I mean, we'd probably say, shouldn't we, that at the bash this weekend now, they can only check to see if a player's in touch, if a player's grounded the ball, or if a player's over the dead ball line. So that's all they can check for. So no obstruction.
So there's really only two, because very rarely
they're in touch.
They have to contest
they're in touch either
way.
So in touch or grounding. So no offsides or anything like that. But most importantly, it mentions if the ref doesn't know how to restart the game, they'll ask the video ref, saying, oh, I think it's a dropout or I think it's a 20-metre restart. But they're only allowed two looks now, the video ref. And if the footage doesn't stack, you know, if they can't get a decision from the two looks, they have to go with the referee's nominated restart. So the whole problem with the video ref is that you're wasting 4 or 5 minutes looking at a single decision. Well, now with stuff like this, you're speeding the game up while you're also getting the right decision. So the RFL have listened to the fans. They've listened to what people are complaining about. And I would imagine, because this is mid-season, this is quite unprecedented to do something like this mid-season. So I would imagine if this works this weekend, this will be in Super League before we get to the Challenge Cup final.
And will you have anyone arguing against it?
Yeah, because there's no perfect system, is there? And like the Liam Kerr try that should have been given, shouldn't have been given when he was in touch. Yeah, but mistakes happen. You know, I don't really have a problem with referees
so
making
actually,
mistakes.
That Liam Kerr, no matter what, they still wouldn't have been able to make the call on it, would they?
Well, no, because it wasn't.
So then the focus comes not just on the referee in the middle of the park. The focus really, really becomes a lot heavier on the touches, don't they?
I don't even know what they're doing in rugby league no more. I do not know what a touch judge does at all, apart from sometimes they'll run on with red flags.
I can promise you I can tell you what he does. He keeps your wingers company. Talks to them, hey, what are you up to this weekend?
Like the amount of times, like as a front row, obviously I spend a lot of time on sideline, you know, jogging and, you know, stretching,
warming up on the bike again,
getting ready. but like you see forward passes, you see offsides, you see, and it's just like especially in our games when we play certain teams, the refs are a lot more lenient.
Okay. Well, maybe they've been disempowered.
Yeah.
You know, the touchies used to have a lot more responsibility, it seemed. And I think we all agree because that's what you're saying. I don't even know what they do anymore. Well, what they used to do is it's got to be in comparison to something. But maybe this will be an empowerment activity for them.
Hopefully it is.
Yeah, all they do at the minute is just take stick in it from everybody and anyone. Both dugouts give them stick. All the players give them stick. But it's because for me...
And the fans give them stick.
Yeah, the fans give them stick, so... Can only get better for a touchy.
They're going to be busy this weekend checking onsides and offsides on kicks because they're the best placed.
They might
placed.
Have forgotten how to do it.
Yeah. They're the best placed. They're looking down the line, so let's see what they can do
in the corner, aren't they, this week?
They can call offsides if a front rower's offside from a kick in midfield, but they can't call offsides on a try. I don't understand it. They're quick to tell me I'm offside on a kick chase, but they always want to go to the screen when it's somewhere else.
Okay, just quickly, Sean Wayne announcing that he's leaving Wigan after 20 years.
Yeah, massive.
I've been well over 20 years.
30, I think it's close to, yeah. Massive. Took everyone by surprise as well. There was no real rumour, no talk that it was going to happen. Obviously, he's got another five, six months to go before he leaves, but everyone's already starting to wonder who's going to be next. Sean Edwards, guys like maybe Dennis Betts.
Edwards. That's a funny one, eh? You go from coaching rugby union for 25 years and your name goes directly in the hat.
Yeah, and I've heard bad things from when Sean Edwards were at Bradford. So.
It was an interesting
character. I'm not saying who said what, but...
He was an interesting character. But different culture fit.
Yeah.
For Sean, and I think he'd be the first. Well, you don't leave mid-season if the fit's right.
Yeah.
Brilliant player, though. Most decorated rugby league player of all time. Mm. Absolutely brilliant. All right, we're going to go to a break, but before we do, let's have a final look at the roads.
On 1278 and 1530 AM on DAB Digital Radio and online at pulse2.co.uk. It's all about rugby league. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 2.
Welcome back to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show, live in the studio with Aaron Bauer, Ross Pouty, and Elliot Minchella. We've just been having a look at some of the biggest announcements going across the week. We just had a chat about the referees changing their style of refereeing, pulling back some of the things for video refereeing, which I think we're all big fans of. Too many stop starts in that time, too much time taken, and they're stripping it all the way back to just putting the ball down and putting your foot over the dead ball line, or outline. So just those two areas are going to be covered. And we also had a quick chat about Sean Wayne. I think the other thing is also St. Helens announcing Nagama signing for 2019. Jeez, you've had a busy week, haven't you, Aaron? That's currency for you.
Big news, big signing.
I mean, Aaron, you broke that story before the story was even broken.
He tore it up in the World Cup, didn't he? He was captain of Fiji, and Fiji were one
he
of the...
He tears it up in the NRL now.
One of the stories. Massive deal, that, for Saints. I know people straight away are assuming that he'll be Barber's replacement, but I think it's more likely he could come in and play in the three-quarter line next year. St. Helens chairman, Eamon McManus, has said some pretty strong stuff over the weekend about, look, he's staying, his Barber. He's under contract. You know, if you want him, you buy him. You make us an offer.
And just keep taking into context that everyone down in the NRL, they are just sort of like priced out.
Yeah.
They're all of them.
They all do the recruitment 18 months in advance as well. So I think somebody's more
likely.
They
have that sort of space, because if they spend the money on transfer fees, that has to be built into their salary cap, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I just think they've been very reluctant to buy him. I know he's tearing it up now, but a lot of NRL clubs will still view him as a player with a lot of baggage. He was booted out, for failing a drugs test. So I think it's more likely he'll stay than he'll go home. So Nagama would then make it one hell of a backline, wouldn't it? There'd be some talent in there. You know, there's Makinson, Grace, Percival already in there. Richardson's going to get better and better.
So and Morgan had a great game on the weekend as well.
Better,
so
yeah.
Which of their edge players is out of contract?
I don't think any of them are out of contract, actually.
How many overseas quota places do they have? Because most teams are still
someone. Someone might have to make way. They might have to do a little bit of shuffling the other way. They've got quite a few, haven't they, overseas? So interesting, but definitely, without any disrespect to anyone in that back line already, it's going to be a heck of a lot better with Nikama in it than without it.
You've got to understand that you've got to like Nikama. If you don't know, if you're at home and you're listening wherever you are, if you don't know what type of player he is, just think Jermaine McGilvery.
Yeah.
Power runner, but probably with a little bit more ball play, which is why he can slide in at fullback also, which is what he did in regards to playing for Fiji in their World Cup. All right, let's look at some of the big games that's coming up this weekend in this last segment. I guess they don't get much bigger. With Carsford having a really comprehensive win against Leeds Rhinos on Saturday evening. St. Helens beating Widnes a little bit early on. Tomorrow night's game, Castleford versus St. Helens. St. Helens travelling to Castleford. I'm sure Cass will be wanting to get one back on them following that loss to St. Helens in the Challenge Cup sixth round.
Yeah, it's become a bit of a classic in recent years, hasn't it? Saints Castle have been the big game, and if you think of the semi-final and stuff like that. I can see Saints running away with it because I don't think we've seen Castleford be all there yet. And, you know, Saints off back of another good win. Ben Barber show up again. I can see it be close, but I reckon Saints will edge it.
I think Cass are going to get the win. Third time lucky. I know Saints are playing out, well, maybe not playing out of the skin just at the minute, but I'm going to say Jake Truman. He's on fire at the minute, isn't he? Young Bradford lad, and I think he's gonna steal the show from Ben Barber.
Yeah, for once, Barber's not the story for me. Truman v Richardson, both in the England Knights squad, probably will be the halfback pairing for the England Knights. You only have to go maybe 3 or 4 years down the line, and they could be 6 and 7 for England. So it'd be great to see those two square off with one another. Since they've put Truman back into the halves, he's running it for a kid of 19 to produce a performance like he did last Saturday in front of 35, 36,000 people. Bodes well for his future. You know, it was a blow when Bradford lost him. I know they rated him really highly. But I'm still going to go for Saints. I think, you know, they've got the beating of most teams at the minute, and they weren't great on Saturday against Widnes, but they still ended up winning by 18-20 points. That's just a sign of where they are. They're in front of everyone at the minute, and I'm back to carry on Thursday night.
Who's better, Richardson or Truman? Who's the better prospect? Now, taking into account that things haven't gone all Cass's way this year, things have gone all St. Helens' way, who is better? Who would you rather have in your team?
I'm going Truey. He's a Bradford lad. You know, I called he was going to be a star from the two pre-seasons ago. We played in a post session, and literally Truey had just come, and he was just like, you know, give this lad at 19s a chance to train with us. And he absolutely, like, he tied Leon's legs together, and like Leon was laying on his back. He scored a full length, and I'm like, everyone was like, this kid's going to be special. So I'm saying Truey.
I don't know for me, because I ain't seen too much of Jake Truman. I know he's a Bradford lad, but last year I played with Danny Richardson. He actually played at Sheffield with us a couple of games, and you could tell he was a step above. Yeah. And so if, just for that, because I know Danny a bit more, so I'm going to say him. But yeah, no, Jake Truman's outstanding, and he's killing it at the moment.
Right now, I would probably want Richardson in my team right now, but in a few years' time, Truman's going to be an absolute mega star of this game. That's not to say Richardson isn't, but he's just got all the qualities to be an unbelievable halfback. And working under Darryl Powell as well is only going to make him even better. So right now, Richardson, ask me again next year.
And
Sheridan as well.
Ryan Sheridan.
So right now, Richardson, ask me again in a year, probably would be Truman.
Yeah, I agree with
you. You know what? I'm going to look at it a little bit differently. If I wanted someone to win me the League Leaders' Shield, I'd go with Richardson. If I wanted someone to win me a Super League Grand Final or a Challenge Cup Final, I'd go with Truman. And it's just, for me, Truman just got that, that X factor at the line.
Yeah.
I think Danny Richardson fits into the system really well. And he's playing really well. He's got a great kicking game, takes his opportunities when they come. But Truman, you can't see the opportunities. Mm. You know, he's really instinctual, and he's playing everything at the line.
It's a fair point as well about, you mentioned Richardson, everything's going well for St. Helens at the minute. This flies in the face of what I just said, but if Barber went home, that would then be interesting to see how Richardson, Lomax, etc. would cope without the main man. It'd be a massive extra amount of pressure on all their shoulders, and they're all young at the end of the day. You know, they're blessed that they're playing with a guy like Ben Barber. But if he goes, that's probably when you'd find out a little bit more about Richardson as well, I think.
Mm. Okay, well, let's have a look at the next games coming up. There's quite a few games on the Friday evening. The first one I want to have a look at is Salford at home to Huddersfield Giants.
Biggest game of the weekend, that.
Huddersfield Giants, that game, they've turned the corner. They've turned a corner. Three big wins.
Recently, yeah, but Huddersfield in the eight, if they win on Friday night. They've won three in a row, haven't they, under Chris Foreman. They beat Widnes, then Wakey in the cup, and then Wakey again last week. Like I say, with Toronto to lose, putting on a show on Saturday, this is not the year to be in that bottom four. Eighth is absolutely everything this year.
And it's not just about being one of the teams in that bottom four and trying to stay away from them. There's a lot of teams that will be competing for Super League places this year, aren't
there? Yeah.
Just those two to name a couple. But London have had a dip in form, but I reckon they'll come strong again, come towards the back end.
I've said it from the start, and I'm not changing my opinion. I worry for Salford. I worry for them now. I worry for them in the eights. I know they're eighth right now, but they're struggling at the minute. To me, it looks like I'd still put Catalans in the box seat for eighth. I think Steve Max turned them around a little bit. They're going to be facing a very vulnerable lead side on Saturday in Perpignan. And then they've got Huddersfield in the cup next week. So Huddersfield and Catalans, one of those two is going to be on a real roll by the time they get to that that quarter final next week. I fancy Huddersfield. You know, they've got Leroy Cudjoe back this weekend, which is massive. Chris Foreman's doing a great job there. The new coach is coming into a squad that he's transformed them, really.
What's the situation with Holbrook?
Nobody with Wolford. Nobody knows when not sure when he's coming yet. Chris Foreman did his press today and said he's pretty unaware if he's going to be here. Foreman will be in charge on Friday, so yeah. Look, by Friday night, I think Huddersfield could well be in the top eight. They certainly look like they've turned a corner, and I'd like to say worry for Salford a little bit.
Yeah, it's worrying times for Salford. Like you said about London, I think Lille might sneak into that four as well. The way they're going, it's one of them when you say it's a 4-point game, isn't it? So it's massive. But yeah, I can see Huddersfield taking it.
Yeah, I'm going to say Huddersfield as well. For me, like you say, three wins on the bounce, and Chris Foreman's building some momentum there, isn't he? So for me, yeah, Huddersfield win.
Well, the last time they had a run out there, I mean, Huddersfield were really, really, really underperformed. Okay, probably Leeds Rhinos and Catalans is another interesting game. Well, actually, no, the other one, we've got to be Warrington Wolves and Hull FC. How do you see that one going?
Hull will be quietly confident, I think. Warrington, they underperformed last week, did Warrington, but Hull are busted with injuries. I mean, they've lost Josh Griffin now. I think they've got three of their starting 13 in squad numbers in the squad this week, so that tells you everything you need to know. I would back Warrington to bounce back well, because Steve Price certainly didn't look happy last week, so yeah, Warrington.
Yeah, Warrington win for me. Hull have got too many injuries.
Yeah, Warrington will take this one.
And just their final one, just a quick one, Leeds, Catalans?
Catalan, I'm going.
Catalan.
Yeah, I think Catalan.
All right, that's us from the show tonight. Thanks to Pelts, Elliot and Aaron for being on the show. Thanks for you guys listening wherever you are tonight. We love you.
Listen back to today's show and all previous Robbie Hunter Paul shows at pulse2.co.uk. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 2.